Okay. So the final month to discuss is Chodesh Av. Again, we don't like discussing Av. It's not Av because we know Av has a lot of negative connotations to it. But again, for completion's sake, for the lessons that we learn, we can discuss Av. Av is also like Tammuz in the heat of the summer, which we mentioned last week. On the one hand, the heat of the summer is a bad sign because it represents distance between us and Hashem. The rain in Eretz Yisrael is non-existent during the month of Av. It's a very dry month, which means that that connection from Shemayim Ba'aretz is not there. So it's a very, very dry month. It's a month of Churban and tragedy. It's a month where we feel the separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Av is most famous, or infamous, for being the month of the Churban, the month of many, many catastrophes and tragedies for Klal Yisrael. And just to put it in contrast, we spoke about a few weeks ago how the month of Cheshvan is the month where the third Beis Hamikdash will be dedicated. Cheshvan is the month of rain. So, because that's when the rain and the ground come together, the bond of Hashem and Klal Yisrael is at its strongest in some sense. So therefore, Cheshvan is the time for dedicating the Beis Hamikdash. Av is the time for the destruction, because that is where it's very dry and that connection is not there. So that those 2 months kind of stand in contrast to one another in many ways. The word Av itself also is interesting. We know Av means a father, and in a certain sense it has a very positive connotation to it. On the other hand, it's noted that the word Av, Aleph and Beis, stand for Edom and Bavel, the two nations that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Bavel destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and Edom, Rome, destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So on the one hand, Av has a very positive connotation of being a father. On the other hand, Av itself contains in the name the two enemies that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So it kind of tells us what the month's all about. But the fact that Av means a father is very significant. Colloquially, we actually call the month Menachem Av, the comforting father. And it seems very ironic in our minds, because if any month should not be a month of comfort, we would think Av is the month of greatest tragedy. But we call it Menachem Av, the comforting father. And I think the reason is very, very apparent. It's a very important reason. We know that despite all the destruction, despite all the tragedy, the apparent distance of Hashem, we always understand it's Kirachim Av al Banim. It's Hashem's Rachmanis upon us. And we can never view tragedy as Hashem being distant from us. We have to view it as Hashem having Rachmanis upon us. And we'll elaborate upon this a little bit more. But the month of Av, the whole name of the month of Av is there to teach us that this month, despite the fact that it's so catastrophic, it's a month where we're supposed to sense Hashem's love and compassion and mercy on Klal Yisrael. The way I would frame it is to give a mashal. There's a few mashalim you can give, but I would say that a surgeon has to cut in order to heal. If the surgeon can't make the cut, he can't heal the patient. And Hashem is that surgeon of us, that He has to, in order to heal us, because of our sins, because of our shortcomings, sometimes it requires surgery. It might require some suffering in order to be healed. A caring parent has to punish the children and give discipline. We know chosech shifto soni beno. Somebody who, they say, spare the rod, you spoil the child, I think is the phrase. But you spare the rod, it shows you hate your children. Because you have to discipline. If you don't discipline children, then they become wild people. And Hashem has to discipline us sometimes. People have to, lolenu, have to have limbs amputated to save their lives at times. And we have to view Av from that perspective. It's a month of Hashem's rachmanis upon us. If you don't operate on the patient, then you're cruel, then you're an achzar. If you operate, if you discipline, if you do punish, that's because you're doing it that you love and you care, and you want the person to thrive and succeed. So Av is called Av for that reason. It's Hashem's rachmanis upon Klal Yisrael, in a sense, in a very strong way. It's a very, very intense love of Klal Yisrael, which should be seen during the month of Av. Sometimes, love dictates to remain distant. We talk about Tisha B'Av as a holiday of Richuk, where Hashem feels distant from Klal Yisrael. Hashem is Hester Panim, He's hidden. But sometimes you have to remain distant also to show your love. So for instance, there's another mashal. Let's say you have an elderly relative who really, she would love to have your help to do, everyday tasks, to go shopping, to get around. But you know that she really could be independent. And you know that if you help her too much, she's going to become too reliant upon you. So it becomes bad for that relative to be helped. You have to stay distant. You can have a child, and you'd love to be able to intervene in your child's life for everything and make sure they never get upset and they never get sad, everything goes their way. But children have to learn how to make their own decisions. You have to let your child make mistakes sometimes so they can mature, so they can grow. You can't be involved in everything. So Hashem too. Sometimes Hashem has to be able to stand back and not take care of all of our needs and say that you need to become independent. You need to become mature. You have to recognize your shortcomings. You have to recognize your failures. A patient in physical therapy, you know, it's they have to go through the painful exercises in order to develop their muscles. So a loving relative or spouse or sibling or parent can say, no, I won't make you walk. I'll carry you over there. I'll push you in the wheelchair. But physical therapy requires, no, you have to do it yourself. You have to, even though it's tough and it's difficult and it takes time, you want to rebuild those muscles, you have to do it yourself. I can't help you. I have to stay back. And for the person watching, it's very difficult. If we have a relative who wants our help and we know it's best we don't help them, it's hard for us not to help. We want to help out the relative. For Hashem, it's hard to stand back. Hashem wants to be able to care for us and love us and do the best He can in order to help us thrive and succeed. So Hashem wants to step in and save us. But Hashem says, no, I have to hold back. I have to refrain because Klal Yisrael needs to feel distance right now. That's what we need. It's referred to, Chazal say, when we talk about Hashem being HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanora. So the word Gibor means strong. But the Gvura of Hashem seen in Golus is the fact that Hashem holds back. Gvura, the greatest Gvura is being able to have self-control, to hold yourself back. That's the Eze Gibor HaKovish Yitzro. The greatest Gibor is someone who conquers their own Yitzer, which means you're able to hold back and not follow every single whim and impulse that you have. So Hashem, as the Kel HaGibor, Hashem can watch His nation be tormented, be exiled, be killed, and Hashem has to apply Gvura to hold back and not save us. It's because why? Because it's for our own good. Hashem has to say, I'm not going to help you right now because you need to learn your lesson, and that's important for you to grow and become the nation you're supposed to be. So it's very, very difficult for us to understand all the time, but I think through this Mishal we can kind of get it, because all of us have situations like that where we have to just step back. We want to get involved, we say, no, if we get involved, it's bad for our loved ones. So I have to step back and just let the thing take its course. So this is Av. Now, Av is called Menachem Av because really it is the comforting father. It's Hashem's love which is allowing all the tragedy to occur. We have to recognize that the Churban was brought upon us for our own good. It's a theme of Av. You know, the theme of Av being called Av, it's to see the positive in the tragedy, to understand the tragedies of Av are there for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. It says in Tehillim, Mizmar la'asaf bo goyim benach alasecha, timo seichalecha, says there's a Mizmar to Asaf. The goyim have come into your heichal, into the Beis HaMikdash, they've defiled all the kodeshecha, all the holy things of the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, why does this Kapitel Tehillim start with the word Mizmor? Mizmor usually implies a joyous song. It should have said Kina. It should have been called Kina L'Asaf. This is a Kina, like Kinos and Tishabav. That's the Gemara's question. Why would David HaMelech, in writing Tehillim, refer to this this Kapitel as Mizmor? It doesn't really make sense. So the Gemara says it's really a Mizmor. Why? Because Shafach HaMasol Itzim Ve'Avanim. Hashem spilled out His wrath on sticks and stones, but didn't destroy Klal Yisrael. Meaning that the entire experience of the Churban, and people did die, it was tragic for human life as well, but overall, Klal Yisrael was spared. Klal Yisrael is still here today. The Beis Mikdash is gone, but Klal Yisrael is here. Which means it's a Mizmor, because Hashem could have taken it out upon Klal Yisrael. Instead, He took out His wrath. The Beis Mikdash was destroyed, and that's gone. We were exiled, but we're still around to this very day. So, David HaMelech, in his wisdom, calls it Mizmor. It's a Mizmor. Hashem did it for our own good. Hashem spilled out His wrath on the Eitzim V'Avanim, on the sticks and stones, and not upon us. But to me, this is a major lesson in perspective of on Tisha B'Av, on Chodesh Av, and really on tragedy and Churban in general. This is how we're supposed to view it. It's very fascinating that the letter of the month of Av is the letter Tes. We mentioned last week how Ches is the letter of Tammuz, and we spoke about how Ches is the letter of Chet, of sin. Tes is the letter of Av. Now, what's Tes? So we know Tes stands for Tov. And you know, in Ashrei, the letter Tes, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'rachem Lakol Ma'asav, Tes is Tov. And of all things you describe Av as, you wouldn't say Av is Tov. You'd say Av is terrible. It's Ra, right. You wouldn't say Av is Tov. But the letter of Av, according to Sefer Yetzirah, is the letter Tes. The Gemara actually explains that the first Luchos did not contain the letter Tes. The the second luchos did. And Gemara says why? Because the first luchos didn't last, and the second luchos, they lasted. They were permanent. The first luchos were destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chida Ego. So the letter Tes is Tov, and Tov, it implies Kiyum. It implies something which is lasting and enduring. So you look at the month of Av, and you wonder, you know, what is it about Av that should be described by Tov and by the idea of enduring, like the second luchos? The Ramban says in Bereshit as well, he says, whenever it says in Bereshit, V'yara Hashem ki Tov, Hashem saw that it was Tov, so the Ramban says that that was the Kiyum, that was Hashem giving something permanence. So whenever Hashem said, oh, this is Tov, Hashem was saying this should be permanent in the world. That's how Hashem viewed the Bria, and He gave everything permanence. So in a certain way, Av is not the death of Klal Yisrael, it's the opposite. That's our permanence, that's our Kiyum. We only last because of the month of Av. If Hashem has to punish us and redirect us, or else we'd be totally lost and destroyed. Like we said, Hashem spilled His wrath on wood and on stones, and not on Klal Yisrael. So the very fact that Hashem is there to have to punish and redirect and discipline us, that's because He's giving us a future. You take a child that has zero discipline, that child has very little hope for success. Children need discipline. Everyone needs a little discipline in life. And everyone needs somebody who's going to be able to step in and say, you know, you did something wrong, we have to refocus, we have to redirect, we have to somehow, you know, regroup and try again. Everyone needs that. That's very important in life. So Chodesh Av is that time. Hashem steps in and says, you know, Klal Yisrael, I love you, I care about you. If I leave you how you are right now, you're goners. You're not going to be able to save yourselves. You're going to be lost forever. So I have to bring upon you discipline. I have to bring punishment. I have to bring something which is going to make you think, to recognize how terrible your actions have been, and to redirect you so that you can have permanence, so you can remain in this world. So the letter of Av is Tess. It's Tov, there's goodness to it. And the Tov means a Kiyum, there's permanence, the Klal Yisrael, because of it. So when you think about Chodesh Av being Tov, so it makes you think about the positive you can see through the tragedy. So this just, I mean, we could think of many, again, it's difficult to do, but there's many gains one does gain through tragedy. Just to think about a few. Number one, you know, Av brings us to tshuva, to refocus on our goals. When one has to go through lalenu suffering, one has to look at Klal Yisrael in a state of Chorban, so it makes you reflect and think, you know, what brought us to this point, and how can we change it? And Tisha B'Av is a day where people really do have a very, very intense feeling of tshuva. When we go through Chodesh Av, we feel that we don't want to be sitting on the floor and crying again. We don't want to be going through these tragedies. We want to be able to become better. How do we fix it? What do we do? And then we start thinking about thoughts of tshuva. You know, in recent years, the big thing has become these videos on Tisha B'Av. But the videos are all directed on one point, which is we have to repair the issues that brought us to the Chorban. Every single one of those Chofetz Chaim Foundation videos is all talking about what caused the Chorban and how do we repair that issue. Because it's a day of tshuva. It's a day that's supposed to. If we don't sit back and focus on the tragedy of Klal Yisrael, then how are we ever going to want to pull ourselves out of the situation? But when we think about what's happened to us, we think about what brought us here and how can I improve that. Av shows us the consequences of sin. Very often, you know, we'll do things, but we don't really see like what's the consequence. Like where does sin take us? When I say some lashon hara, when I cut a corner here or there. What happens? You know, we don't always see in this world the impact of Averas. When you look at the month of Av, you see that Avera has an impact. There's consequences. There's accountability. And that's a positive thing for us to note, because that makes us be extra careful with our actions. I don't want to bring any more Chorban upon the world. I don't want to be held accountable for my misdeeds. I want to do the right things, because I see where sin can take you. The truth is, many Sfarim point out that in terms of the portions of the year, you know, Av leads right into Elul, which is the season of tshuva. And it's a very, very appropriate lead-in, because once you see the consequence of how terrible Aveira actually is, then you have Elul to the tshuva. It's actually a perfect transition, because what drives you to tshuva? Like, why do you want to do tshuva? So when you look at Av, you say, oy, what does sin do to me? Like, I look at Klal Yisrael right now. Then we're all very, very motivated to tshuva, because we look at Tisha B'Av, Felix before, and we say, I don't want to have that again. I want to deal with that. I want to have good things. So really, Av leads right into Elul and leads us to tshuva. That's what it does. But even in a bigger point, in a deeper point, I think that Av and the idea of the tragedy of Klal Yisrael, it actually is a very, very significant point in terms of maintaining Klal Yisrael, because Av keeps us as a very distinct nation. And let me explain what I mean. What's over here? The Meshech Chachma, he actually, in Parshas Bechukosai, so he talks about there's a pattern in the history of Klal Yisrael. And he says the pattern is, so we go to Golos, we settle into a country. When you settle into the country, you know, it's a new place, we're strangers there, we don't know what the surroundings are like, we stay to ourselves. And when we stay to ourselves, usually, you know, we fall back upon old traditions, we don't assimilate, don't intermarry, and we grow as a community. As we get too comfortable in these countries, so then we learn the language, we learn the culture, we learn the ropes, and suddenly start assimilating. And at that point, we start losing hold of our old traditions and our old customs, and we stop keeping mitzvahs properly, and we stop being Ovdei Hashem as we should. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, that's it, Ad Kan, and we're pushed off to the next Golus. And unfortunately, in history, we've seen this, and the Jews have gone, really, the center of Yiddishkeit has gone from country to country, probably over a dozen times, you know, for the past 2,000 years. Beginning from, you know, Babel into, let's say, Spain, into Eastern Europe, and it keeps on moving. We had the center of Judaism in Western Europe and in Eastern Europe, and it keeps bouncing around. And the reason is because at a certain point, when Klal Yisrael gets too comfortable in their surroundings and they blend in too much and they lose their distinction as Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, well, we can't have it that way because you have to remain distinct, and therefore we're going to move you again to a different place so that you do remain distinct. So that's the way the Meshech Chachma explains it. So Hashem has to send in, as he says, a storm that screams at us, you're a Jew, and don't forget about that. If we forget the fact that we're Jews, and we think that we can be Germans, or we can be Polish, or we can be Spanish, or we can be British, so then at that point Hashem says, okay, you can't stay here anymore, you have to move to the next place. Unfortunately, we see a very important case in point. You look at Nazi Germany, and Hitler didn't care how assimilated a Jew you were. He said, if you have Jewish blood, even a few generations back, you're going to the concentration camps, because Jews have to remain distinct. And Hashem will keep us distinct, and if it's not done, if we don't keep ourselves distinct, then Hashem will send in his messengers to keep us distinct. And that's what Hitler, Yimach Shemo did, and that's what every single one of these nations did to us throughout the course of Golus. Then Nitziv puts it, he says that if we have a pasuk that says, Vishkon Yisrael betach bardad, the Klal Yisrael will dwell in security alone. And then Nitziv says, if we don't dwell alone on our own right, then we're stuck with Eicha Yashva Vadad. Then Eicha tells you that we dwell alone because of Khurban and destruction. So we're going to be alone. Klal Yisrael will be Vadad. We will remain alone. Question is, are we going to do it by choice or by force? That's really the question. But it's really part of the Nes. You know, many people have mentioned throughout history, Jews and non-Jew alike, what's one of the greatest nisim you have in front of your eyes to this very day? What's the proof of God in the world? It's the fact that the Jews still exist. We should have been annihilated thousands of years ago. And the fact that we're still here is a tremendous nes. And that nes really is very much attributed to not necessarily to the positive times, but to Tisha B'Av. Because the fact that we're distinct, the Meshech Chachma is explaining, and it's explaining, is we remain distinct as a nation and don't assimilate, because we're always going to be singled out and spit out in the countries that we're in. So unfortunately, it's being done in a very, very difficult way, with suffering. That's been our choice because we haven't been doing Hashem's will. But it's miraculous. It's a day of miracles because we're still here. It's our key, like we said. It makes us endure. It makes us stay alive. It gives us permanence. If Hashem just let us alone in the countries that we're in, so we would have assimilated long ago. It's only because Hashem makes sure that we get picked out and distinguished, so that keeps us alive as a nation. So it's again, we'd rather not come through these types of means. On the other hand, it has maintained us as Klal Yisrael all these years. The fact that we were put into a ghetto makes us defined as Klal Yisrael. And the fact that we're shipped off to the camps, unfortunately, makes us defined as Klal Yisrael. So we could have chosen otherwise. If we did Hashem's will, then we would have chosen ourselves to be proud Jews and remain distinct. But if we start assimilating, Hashem says, okay, I have to pick you out one way or the other. You're not going to absorb yourself in other nations. You will be distinct. You will be selected out. So that's part of, again, the word positive is hard to say, but that's part of the good of Tisha B'Av. It's part of the permanence given to Klal Yisrael because of Tisha B'Av. That's where it all comes from. It's a day of tremendous miracles. It's a miracle that we're still here. And we're still here because of this. That's why we're still here. So that's the idea of Tov, of the test being Tov. Additionally, It's very interesting, Medrash, when it says in Bereishis, V'yara Elokim es kol asher asav hinei tov ma'od, as Hashem saw everything that He made, it says hinei tov ma'od, it was very, very good. So the Medrash has, there's a few different explanations in the Medrash, but it says that, you know, tov is the Yetzer HaTov, and tov ma'od is Yetzer Hara. It says tov ma'od can refer to death. It says tov ma'od and all these things that we would think are horrible. Yetzer Hara is tov ma'od, and death is tov ma'od, and I forgot what else is in the list. But what makes it, why is it that these things, why is the Yetzer Hara tov? What is it, what's the tov of Tisha B'Av? Another point of it is that our actions we see are meaningful. If Hashem didn't care what we did, then we'd be Tisha B'Av either. Hashem will say, okay, do whatever you want, I don't care. You know, I'm not going to reward, I'm not going to punish you. It's only because your actions are meaningful do they have consequences. Tov Ma'od, the fact that it's Yetzer Hara makes our actions meaningful. If there was no challenge in life, if choices were always clear, then our actions are meaningless, we're robotic. When there's Yetzer Hara, it's Tov Ma'od, it's very good because now we can make a choice and our actions can be meaningful actions. We're actually responsible to do the right things because of consequences. Consequences mean that your actions are meaningful, that's what it means. So Av is Tov because it shows that there are consequences, and that meaning that our actions actually are meaningful actions. Decisions we make actually make a difference. This as a mashal, you could picture in a company, you have the CEO and you have the janitor. So the CEO makes a mistake, there are major consequences because, you know, one wrong decision can cause the company to totally fold. It can cause millions of dollars of loss. If the janitor makes a mistake cleaning at night, so there's only so much damage he can do because there's not so much responsibility, so there's not much accountability. Because two always go together. How responsible are you? How accountable are you? Are your actions meaningful? So you're very accountable for them. If your actions aren't as meaningful, you're less accountable for it. So the fact that Klai's actions can bring them to such terrible consequences shows that we can also bring to very, very positive consequences as well. And our actions are very, very meaningful actions. It shows them what it means to be a Jew. It shows the power of a Jew. So part of the Tov of Tisha B'Av, similar to the Yetzer Hara, is that it makes our actions meaningful. It shows us that what we do matters to Hashem. Hashem doesn't punish an ant for picking up the wrong piece of wheat, because Hashem doesn't care what the ant does. Hashem punishes us for doing the wrong things. Hashem does care what we do, so our actions make a difference in the world. There was an interesting halacha, which I always found, it's kind of puzzling and ironic, but it makes sense in this context. The Tisha B'Av is called a moed. It's a pasuk in Eicha, a very negative pasuk. It says, "I'm moed lishbor bachurai." You should call upon it a moed to destroy my bachurim, my young children. So it sounds like a very terrible moed. But Chazal say it's a halacha that Tisha B'Av is called a moed, and therefore you skip tachanun and Tisha B'Av. Tachanun you only skip on happy days, and Tisha B'Av you skip tachanun because it's called a moed. So it's strange. Like, what's the moed of Tisha B'Av? It's not a moed. It's a day of mourning. It's a day of tragedy. But I think it's the same point, that Tisha B'Av is a moed, because a moed means that you are encountering a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're growing from that encounter. And Tisha B'Av is a day where we have that encounter with Hashem, and we learn from it, we grow from it. Hashem on Tisha B'Av is very clear to us. You know, it's the Hashgacha of Tisha B'Av is clear. It's tragic, it's difficult to deal with, and it's very, very hard to feel you know, these events. But the fact that it's all part of Hashem's Hashgacha should be very clear to us in Tisha B'Av. As you read the story of Tisha B'Av, you read the Kinos, you look at the history of Klal Yisrael from the Churban to this very day, it's not just random tragedies, but it's all a clear line of Hashgacha of Hashem trying to bring us somewhere. I think that's very, very clear. So the Tisha B'Av is a moed because it's a day where you do encounter a Kodesh Baruch Hu and you grow from it. And that's why Tisha B'Av is a moed. So this all is the same theme. Av is Hashem comforting us, Hashem's taking care of us, Hashem has compassion for us. It's what allows Klal Yisrael to have a permanence, and it's what allows us to remain distinct in our galus. And ultimately it's Tov. We have to drive home to ourselves the idea that all these things are good for us. We don't always know why, but they're good for us. The Mazel, the constellation of Av, is the Aryeh, it's the lion. So what is it about the lion that should connect to Chodesh Av? So it's very fascinating. The Beis HaMikdash is actually referred to as a lion. We know that it's called in Tanakh Ariel. Ariel be the lion of Hashem, the lion of God. It's called Ariel. You know, we have in the Shabbos Miros Friday night, on Kol Mechada Shvi, it says, HaMachakim Mevinin Ariel, those who are waiting for the building of Ariel, the building of Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us that after the Churban, every single day Hashem roars like a lion to, I guess, bemoan the destruction. But the mashal given is Hashem moans like a lion, groans like a lion. Chazal tell us that the fire on the Mizbeach in the Mishkan and the first base of Mikdash actually appeared in the form of a lion. It says in the second base of Mikdash appeared in the form of a dog. We're on a much lower level then. In the first base of Mikdash, the fire appeared like a lion. So a lion is very interconnected with the base of Mikdash. And you also find that the simple reason why we refer to the base of Mikdash as a lion, so the different Rishonim describe, it's because the building itself was shaped similar to a lion, meaning it was wide in the front and narrow in the back. The lion in the front is a very, very wide body, and then he has a very, very narrow, you know, torso in the back of the lion. So that's the building resembled a lion as well, but that's the same point. It's all about a lion. For some reason, a lion is very associated with the Beis HaMikdash. So what is it about Ariel, about a lion, that really connects the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, it's a very mighty animal, it's a strong animal, it's a powerful animal, but how do we see the connection? So the Malbim says that Ariel is a term that denotes chashivis, or strength, and it relates to the idea that the lion is the melech shebechayos, the king of the jungle, as we say in English. So the Gemara says it. The Gemara says the lion's called the king of all the wild animals. It's not just an American concept, it's a Gemara concept. It's the king of the jungle is the lion. So there's a certain measure of chashivis, of importance and of power to a lion, but we have to elaborate more. Like, what is the idea of the lion with the Beis HaMikdash? So when you hear a lion roar, the Shaigas Aryeh, the lion roars. So the Pasuk says, Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira, the lion roars, who doesn't fear? If you ever go to the zoo and hear the lion, it's a powerful roar. Usually they're sleeping at the zoo. But if it's up and about and you hear it is powerful. It's a very powerful roar. It does kind of shake you up a little bit. So the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Amos, Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira, the lion roars, who wouldn't fear the lion's roar? So the roar of the lion, it strikes fear into all those that are around. The lion is certainly a symbol of Yira, of fear. We would all, I think, run the other way if we saw a lion loose. I mean, it's a very, very scary thing. The Kabbalah, it's a really pasuk from Yecheskel, it says that one of the animals on the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem is the lion. And Api Kabbalah, it's because the lion imbues fear into all the malachim, is what the Sfarim say. But the lion imbues fear. So the Beis HaMikdash is a place where the purpose of it was to imbue fear into Klal Yisrael. There's the idea of Mora Mikdash as a mitzvah. You have to have reverence to the Beis HaMikdash and fear the Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately supposed to bring us to Yiras Shemayim, the fear of Hashem. So the Beis HaMikdash is a lion, not just in shape, but in its purpose. The Beis HaMikdash was like this, you walk in this building, it's like seeing a lion. The roar, the power, the terror, the strength. That's what you should feel. And anybody who came to the Beis HaMikdash would be automatically injected with Yiras Shemayim. Similar to hearing the Shaigas Aryeh, hearing the roar of that lion, the building would bring Yira to all. So the shape's not a coincidence. The shape is just symbolic of what the building's supposed to do for us, supposed to give us that fear. We said that the Gemara tells us that after the Churban, Hashem every day, he roars like a lion. So what does that mean? I would say that we used to have a lion's roar, which is very, very open and powerful in the Beis HaMikdash. We'd have that fear. Nowadays, Hashem is still roaring. We don't hear it anymore. We lost that opportunity to gain that growth and that fear of Hashem. And we used to have it. We could walk into the Beis HaMikdash and we would feel the fear. We'd feel the reverence. But now Hashem is still roaring like a lion, but we don't hear it anymore. So that's one idea. Also, the lion being the Melech Shebechayos, the king of the jungle. So you look at the lion and you do see a figure of Malchus, of royalty. The lion does look a little. It looks majestic. You look at a lion with the mane, the face. It really looks very majestic. It's a very beautiful animal. Its face, even though it walks around like it owns the place. The lion. That's just a slow prowl. Like it really walks around in a way which we would say is noble, is royal. And there's a reason why it's the king of the jungle. It displays Kavod Malchus. And Beis HaMikdash, besides being a place of fear, was a place of the Kavod of Hashem. And we look at the lion, it evokes fear, but also there's a sense of honor, a sense of, we call it a pride of lions. It's interesting in English, a pride of lions, but there's a sense of pride which comes, you know, you see the proud lion, you see its glory, you see its majesty. It's like a kula omer kavod. You know, the lion is a very mechubadik animal, it's very honorable. I saw it noted in a sefer, interesting thing, all lions are the same color. I mean, the other animals different species in different locations will be different colors. You have a polar bear and a grizzly bear and a black bear, they look different. And usually that's based on the fact they have to camouflage. Because they're not at the top of the food chain, they have to look different based on their environment so that they don't take it high from the predators. The lion, no matter which lion you're discussing and which habitat it comes from, they're all the same color. And part of the idea is that a lion has nothing to fear. It's the top of the food chain. It's the king of the jungle. Nothing's going to mess with the lion. It's the mightiest thing out there. So Klai Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash in its ideal form was also viewed that way. Nobody should mess with us. You know, we have Hashem on our side. Hashem's power. Nobody can ever overcome the Beis HaMikdash. To the extent, when the enemy penetrated on Tisha B'Av and was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, people were shocked. It's a pasuk. I don't have a pasuk in front of me, but the pasuk says that how could it be that the Tsar of Oyev could enter into the Beis Hashem? That people could not believe something could happen. People were totally astonished. It's like, how could the lamb defeat the lion? It'd be like that kind of miracle. How could any human being overtake Yerushalayim? How could that be? And that's the point. We look at that and we say that the Beis HaMikdash was a mighty lion. It evoked fear, it evoked honor, it was this symbol of Hashem's majesty, and it was untouchable. And nobody can go near it, nobody could ever penetrate the Beis HaMikdash walls and to conquer Klal Yisrael. And then it happened. Tisha B'Av, it happened. There's two Shvatim that were in charge of building the Mishkan. You had Bezalel from the Shevet of Yehuda, and you had Ahaliyah who came from Shevet Dan. If you look, Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, if you look at the Psukim, they're both compared to lions. And the brachos given to them, but the bracha given to Dan by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Dan Gur Aryeh. He was referred to as a lion cub. And Yehuda is also always referred to as a lion, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So both Dan and Yehuda, who built the Mishkan, they were the first spark of the Beis HaMikdash, they were compared to lions. So that's the positive aspect of the lion, which the Beis HaMikdash stood for, and that was lost. On the other hand, the enemy that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar from Bavel, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah refers to him as a lion. It says, Ola Aryeh Misivcho, the lion will get up from amongst its, like, the bushes, and it will prowl and it will destroy Yerushalayim. That's the Nevuah, labeling Nebuchadnezzar as a lion. Because why? You need the lion to defeat the lion. No one else is defeating the lion. If you're not compared to a lion, you can't defeat the Beis HaMikdash. Only Nebuchadnezzar, who was compared to a lion himself, he had the power to defeat the Beis HaMikdash. A lion is fierce, a lion's destructive, a lion's violent. So only an enemy of that level could defeat the Beis HaMikdash and destroy Klal Yisrael in that manner. Another idea about a lion, and I mentioned before, the Gvuras Ari, the power, the strength of a lion. We mentioned earlier tonight that the idea of Gvura, of power and strength, the way that we see it most strongly presented is the idea of Ezu Gibor Kovash Yitzro. What is true Gvura? It's the ability to hold back and not give in to your own personal impulses and desires. And I saw quoted in the Sefer as well, you can speak to the scientists if this is accurate nowadays, but lions don't attack unless they are hungry or threatened. We look at lions as these like terrible predators and these vicious animals, which they are pretty vicious, but they only attack unless if they're hungry, which means that the rest of the time they hold back their rage. They exhibit gvura in that sense, they hold back. They don't attack, even though they could kill anything in their sight, they hold back, they don't kill unless they really need the meat. If they need the meat, they'll kill. So it's also a model for us, so Ezo Gibor Kovash Yitzro. They're able to hold back on their own personal desires and impulses, and exhibit that gvura, that strength. So we said this before as well, that the Churban HaBayis was a gvura of Hashem, that Hashem held back. Hashem didn't stop the enemy from entering into the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem really wanted to, kevyachol. But Hashem said, I have to let Klal Yisrael experience this korban, and therefore I'm not going to step in and save them. I'm going to hold back at this point. It's a gvura. That's what it is. So the gvura of Hashem is that ability to hold back and to act in a way that we need. Like the parent looking back at the child and saying, I want to intervene to help my child, but I can't, because my child needs to mature and to make his or her own choices and to grow up. So one concept of Gvuras Ari is this true Gvura, the Gvura of Hashem, which is seen through the Chorban. Just going back to this idea of seeing the positive through tragedy, there's a beautiful piece in Sefer Munas Yitecha about Pesach, but it really relates to the topic we're discussing. He discussed the idea of Maror. And he quotes from the Sefer Ohev Yisrael. And the Ohev Yisrael, who was the one of the rabbis, he said that, let's find the quote, speaking about Maror, he said that Maror is also part of the Geula. I mean, we eat Maror along with the Matzah and the Karban Pesach, which are all symbols of Geula. It says Maror is part of the redemption. We think of Maror just remembering the tragedy. He says Maror is part of the redemption. He says, out of the Maror there'd be no Geula. And then he says a term, Ze Iker Mochen de Godless. This is the primary Mochen de Godless, which means the mature perspective, let's say. The adult or mature perspective on the world. So what does he mean by this? That the Maror is part of the Geula, and eating Maror is giving us a mature perspective. So the Sefer Musitecha, he quotes here a story from the Kaminka Rebbe. I'm not sure what that was. He's called the Kaminka Rebbe. And the Kaminka Rebbe, he lost a child on a Shabbos. His child died. And he didn't look sad at all. And he asked somebody to bring him some wine. So this is Shabbos. You're not supposed to mourn on Shabbos. Obviously, it takes superhuman strength in a situation like that not to mourn. But he asked for some wine. And as he was drinking, he said something. He said, why'd I ask for wine? He said that wine is something that it's an acquired taste. And if you don't learn to appreciate wine, the wine tastes very, very bitter to you. People who enjoy dry wine, for them the wine doesn't taste bitter. It tastes very, very sweet, as it were. It's a very, very pleasing taste. And then he said that, so the chisaron, the lacking in someone doesn't appreciate the wine, it's not in the wine, it's that they haven't acquired the taste for the wine. So you could have this $200 bottle of dry wine, and everyone's going to be raving about, this is delicious, and you don't have a wine drinker, take it, you'll say, ugh, this is disgusting. This is just this bitter stuff. Because it's an acquired taste. And his point was, the nimshal he was giving was that when he experienced a tragedy, he was saying that tragedies themselves also have a positive taste to them. But you have to learn how to appreciate that taste. And he said that, you know, he lost a child, Olenu, and he said that, you know, I'm drinking wine because I'm trying to teach myself this lesson, that when you suffer through Yisurim, you have to know that there's an acquired taste to that. And if you learn how to appreciate it properly, you can see the good in these Yisurim. So Maror also is that point, that we eat the Maror with the Matzah and with the Karban Pesach to show that along with the Geula came the Maror. The Maror brought us to, without the bitterness of slavery, we wouldn't have reached the freedom. We wouldn't have the Simcha Pesach if not for the bitterness of the Maror. It's part and parcel of the Simcha. It's not just a memory of the past, but that actually contributes to the Simcha of Pesach and to the Simcha of Klal Yisrael. So this idea he calls Iker Mochen de Godless. This is the mature perspective. This is how one gains a mature perspective, which is that we don't see everything for its face value. We can see deeper. We understand that even difficult times are there for a reason, for a purpose. And we have to be able to look at them, you know, through the eyes of an adult with perspective to know that these things are there to bring us to a better place, to help us grow, to help us achieve a greater maturity in life. So we see that the idea of Av is this concept. And we see that the idea of the lion evokes the fear and also the kavod. There's fear and there's honor which comes through a lion. There's the majesty of the lion, there's the terror of the lion. They come together. So if we can't accomplish, you know, the ideal Yira which we're supposed to, so Hashem has to bring Yira to us in other ways. The goal is a Jew needs to fear Hashem. A Jew has to be distinct. A Jew has to be focused. And if we can't do it in our own free choice, in positive ways, so Hashem then has to bring these tragedies, and we have to learn to see the tragedies in a positive way. So Hashem says, if you can't take the lion of the Beis HaMikdash and grow through that in an uplifting, positive, joyous way, I'm sending you my other lion, Nebuchadnezzar. He'll make you have that same exact fear, that same exact honor for Hashem, but coming from a very different direction. The fierce attack of the lion will be in place of the great honor and kavod of the Beis HaMikdash. But the major lesson, I think, in all of this, when one sits there on Tisha B'Av and says Kinos, one reflects upon Chodesh Av, reflects upon tragedy in general, the goal is to be able to see it as a growing experience, as a moving experience, despite all the difficulty, and to learn how to grow through it. I may have mentioned this before here, but there's a Mishnah which I find probably to be maybe the most difficult of a halacha emotionally that one could ever have to accomplish. We know that when someone experiences a tragedy, well, leinu, you say the bracha, bracha dayana emes. When one has a simcha, you say the bracha, bracha tove metiv. So there seems to be two diametrically opposed brachos. You know, one is about Hashem is good and does good, and one is the idea that Hashem is the true judge, and even though I'm suffering through something very difficult, I know that Hashem, I can see that Hashem knows what he's doing, and Hashem's dayana emes. So the Mishnah says, kishem shemavarchin al hatova. The same way you make a bracha on the good, it's that same way you make a bracha on the bad. Which means that with the same emotion, and the same hakar satov, and the same recognition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that you would have through the saying Atov Yemetiv, you should make the bracha in the same exact way we say Dayana Emes. So that's like, whew, whoa, how do you do that? Right? But that's the Mishnah says, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and that's supposed to be when a Jew makes either of those brachos. A Jew is supposed to make the bracha with the same exact feeling, because it's all from Hashem, it's all good, it's all Hashem's plan, it's all Hashem's will. Atov Yemetiv to us is very apparent. You know, when I'm able to have a great simcha, I make the bracha tov meitiv, it's very apparent why I'm enjoying, it's very apparent why I should thank Hashem for it. When one has to make the bracha lo'leinu of the bracha dayana emes, so it's not so apparent anymore. But deep down we have to recognize that yisurim, suffering, difficulties, are an acquired taste. If we learn to look at it from the right perspective, we would see the joy and the great gains we get you know, through tragedy. So and that's the month of Av. The month of Av is called Av because Hashem is there as our Father, trying to guide us and bring us to a better place in life, as individuals and as a nation. It's the only month that has a name like that, Av. I mean, no other month has a name that's so positive and so uplifting, like a father. That's only Av has that. Menachem Av. But it's because it's the month that if we didn't have these lessons, it'd be very hard to perceive any good in it. But yet, it's a month where things are good. And it's very, very tov. So that's I think, the basic principle of Av. Next week, Meretz Hashem, I want to discuss a little bit about Tu B'Av, which kind of takes Av and flips it around and says Tu B'Av is a day of reconciliation, it's a day of joy, but really that's where Av brings us. Av doesn't bring us, you know, Tammuz, we spoke last week, is being a very bad month, and Tammuz leaves us with nothing at the end. You know, Tammuz, we finish Tammuz and we're in the 9 days and just mourning and in tragedy. When you experience Tisha B'Av, so Av ends with, there's Tu B'Av, which is one of the most joyous days in the calendar, the Mishnah says, and it leaves us, you know, in a much more happy mood and brings us into Chodesh Elul, into Tishrei, and leaves us in a way which is very inspiring and uplifting. Because the month of Av is there to teach us that all the tragedies we've suffered are there for our own good. So Meretz Hashem, we should have no more tragedies, and we should only see things that are very, very clearly good. But Av shows the lesson that really everything Hashem does is for the good. That's what we always have to think about. Mm-hmm.